morning. It's a couple of minutes after 6 o'clock in the Greater Bay Area. Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills, and this is Thoughtline. Each week we try to tell you fun things, interesting things, things you need to know. Tonight will be no exception. Tonight we're going to be talking about a science fiction and fantasy convention that's happening in San Jose this coming weekend. Starting Friday, July 1st, going to Monday, July 4th, it's WesterCon. And this is the 64th WesterCon. In the studio tonight, we've got a couple of people who are involved with WesterCon. We have Glenn Glazer, we have Kevin Stanley, and we have Sandra Childress. So so good evening. Thanks for being here tonight.
Good evening, Bob.
So why don't we start with 64. Now, obviously, it's not 1964, 2064, so the 64 stands for something.
Right.
What does 64 stand for?
WesterCon 64 is the 64th annual science fiction, West Coast Regional Science Fiction Convention. It's now been going for over almost six and a half decades.
And so what, where did it start?
Well, so it started with a picnic, a 4th of July picnic in Los Angeles. And among some fans who are part of what is called LOSFES, the Los Angeles Science Fan Society. And they had a good time with their 4th of July picnic, and they decided to do it again. And then they said, you know, let's make a bigger party out of it. And they went to a hotel, and for the first few years, it was in a hotel in Los Angeles. And then other people said, this is a lot of fun. Why don't we do that up here? And it started to move around. And it became something where different cities would vie for the right to have the convention. And it's been, let's see, as far northwest as Vancouver, Canada, as far northeast as Calgary, as far southwest as El Paso, and as far west as Hawaii and wow. south to San Diego.
Well, so when was the last time it was in San Jose?
San Jose was WesterCon somewhere in the 30s, I believe. Or WesterCon 1930s, but something like WesterCon 30 or thereabouts. It was in San Mateo 4 years ago, but it went through a long period of time where Central California, including the Bay Area, wasn't hosting it. So San Jose hosted a WesterCon. It's been a good long time since it was in San Jose.
In Oakland. 25.
Yeah, Oakland. It's been in the Bay Area a whole lot of times, but it'd been the last time in San Jose 20 years ago plus. Last Bay Area appearance 4 years ago.
So
it's just the normal noises in here.
That's right. Let's talk about a science fiction fantasy convention is something that people who have gone to science fiction and fantasy conventions know very much about. But if people have some time on the weekend, they go down to the Fairmont Hotel between Friday the 1st and Monday the 4th. What would they expect to experience?
Well, basically, the format is business will start about 10 in the morning with our programming panels, which run about an hour and a half each, with different topics being discussed. I believe there's three tracks of programming. It's not been completely published yet because the final panelists have to still accept, but we have everything related to steampunk, anime, costuming, how to do recreative costuming to brand new costuming ideas, writing ideas, authors will speak, artists will speak about their craft. We will have an art show where you can go in, and it's like walking through a museum that you can shop from. If you're interested in a piece of art, you can actually put a bid on it, and on Monday is the art auction.
That's right. Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And if there are enough bids on the piece of art, it'll go to a voice auction, which gets really exciting when more than one person's interested in a beautiful piece of art. We have a dealer's room, which is where our vendors are. They'll have everything from new books to old books to more art, costuming, jewelry, lots of jewelry. There'll be memorabilia from other shows and movies. And then we have some special events scheduled.
So one of the things that people who do recreative costuming enjoy and also people who kind of like the elegance of a former era, is that we have not one but two Regency dances in the evening. So on Friday night is a kind of an instructional dance where one of our friends will bring a boombox and some canned Regency music and teach people the steps. And it's very much, it looks from a remove, it looks a little like square dancing because, of course, it's the forerunner of square dancing. And it has that kind of lines and squares and called moves and things like that. And then the one that follows on Sunday, is it may have a live band and a live Regency band and more expectation of a free-flowing, you know, period dance. On Saturday afternoon, we're going to have a tea.
Yes, in our hospitality suite, where you get an opportunity to sit and relax and share food and drink with other attendees as well as some of the panelists, we will be hosting a special tea honoring our guest of honor, Patricia McKillop. I've never been able to say her name right. And
McKillop, yes.
McKillop. And this, because her books tend to revolve around Victorian, Elizabethan era kitchens and banquets and the like. So we will have food similar to that for finger foods. And we will also have a harpist there giving us some thematic music to tie in. So that's about an hour and a half that afternoon.
Okay. The other thing, a couple of other things we're doing is on Saturday afternoon, there's a interview show called SF in SF, which routinely interviews very high-end authors from across the field, and they're going to make their first appearance in San Jose this weekend. And they're going to allow each of the guests of honor to read from their works and then answer some questions from the audience. And this will all be recorded and podcasted and sent out like that.
And something that I think is of interest to people who are fans of radio, and particularly old-time radio or radio plays or radio drama, will be happening on Saturday evening, where another of our guests of honor, Phil and Kaya Folio, the creators of the Girl Genius series, will be staging a radio-style play based on their characters from their award-winning graphic novel series. And this is something where the people attending the convention can get involved, because the Girl Genius radio players generally consist of members of the convention who've been recruited by the Folios to act in the play. So they're encouraged to come by the Folios booth, where they'll be sitting when they're not busy doing panels. And then on Sunday evening, we'll gather in one of the ball, or in the Club Regent room, rather, and have a radio play with their characters. And it's a great deal of fun. I've participated in these myself.
So this is a very interactive kind of convention. It's not kind of go and sit and consume. It's be a part of it as well.
Very much so. I mean, this is an interactive experience. This is an event that we put on as an event for each other. That's one of the reasons we don't call it tickets or admissions. We call it membership, because you're joining the convention and we're all in this together, and everyone brings a little bit to it.
And one nice thing about it being a community, right, and not a huge a press like you might find at a trade show, is that it gives you that interactive opportunity. If you go to like a really large media convention or comic book convention or something like that, you're not going to get a chance to interact with the guests of honor, right? Now, as Sandra just mentioned, we're having a tea, and you can drop into the con suite and talk with a top-flight professional author over a cup of tea, and that's just not something you're going to experience at a big show, right? There are a couple of other events that I'd like to highlight. One also Saturday night is our masquerade, which is a costume competition. And people it'll be like a runway fashion show, right? They'll come and they'll have their costumes and they'll present them in perhaps a short dramatic piece, and then they'll be judging, and then a rerun of the winners.
And then you have a number of categories. There's a novice category for people who aren't professional and have never done it before. There's an open category, which is the basic category. But there's also a couple of other interesting categories. A young fan category, if you're under 16 and have made the costume yourself. And also an exhibition. So if you just want to make an exhibit of yourself and you don't want to be judged, you can get in that way too. So there's a lot of different ways. It's not just for the people who have spent all year coming up with a perfect Victorian steampunk outfit.
You've done your homework. I'm impressed.
Well, costuming is an important part of science fiction and fantasy fandom. It has been from the very first World Science Fiction Convention.
How did that happen?
Forrest Ackerman, who was number one fan, attended the first Worldcon and attended almost every single one until he died just a couple of years ago. He wore a costume based on one of the books that was popular at the time, and I've now forgotten what he was doing to put on. I know, I've seen the photo, I can bring it in my mind. Unfortunately, this isn't the wrong kind of media for talking about that. But, it's become...
There it is, right there.
The costumes people have wanted to participate in science fiction and fantasy more than just reading it. And even when it was just books, before television and before there was a lot of movies of this stuff, people wanted to have something to do with it. And so you're not required to wear a costume to come to one of our conventions, but you're going to be encouraged if you want to. And
absolutely.
We like seeing people in costume.
And you can wear them in the hallways during the event, too, not just on Saturday during the masquerade. We call those hall costumes because they're more comfortable. Mm-hmm. They're like, for example, recreations from TV shows that are either modern or historic, depending on your age, whether it's Star Trek, Firefly, Star Wars. Those are the big ones that are usually done. The 501st Star Wars Recreations Group, they will walk the hallways in their Stormtrooper costumes, and they look wonderful.
And... You know, I'm nobody seamstress or seamster, and I'm not really good at this sort of thing. But I can still be a costumer in this way. I remember going to a WesterCon, a previous WesterCon in L.A. at a dog-friendly hotel. As it happens, I have a pug. I also own a black suit and a pair of sunglasses, and we made up a little black suit for my dog and went as Men in Black because it works. And it doesn't require really any effort. I mean, it requires the vision and the creativity, but it doesn't require any real, like, technique. And that's a wonderful hall costume. I can walk around the hallways with my dog and everyone goes, I know what that is.
Costuming from your closet is a lot of fun.
Yes.
Well, this is 89.7 KFJC and Thoughtline. Tonight we're talking about WesterCon 64, the 64th annual Western Science Fiction and Fantasy Convention, which is happening this weekend down at the Fairmont Hotel in San Jose. It starts on Friday the 1st and goes to Monday the 4th. You can find out more by going to westercon64.org. That's WesterCon64.org. And we have Sandra, Kevin, and Dave standing in the back, who's being very quiet, and Glenn, who are with us today. And I wanted to ask, so Sandra, what was the first WesterCon you went to?
The first WesterCon I went to was 2000, year 2000, and I have been to all but Hawaii, which was Honolulu, and last year. I think I've had a streak of about 9 out of 11 that I've been involved with WesterCon. And
so why did you go to the first one?
Because I was on committee for another convention I was promoting. it's kind of, I won't say incestuous organization, but there's a lot of traveling and friendships that get made in other communities when you go and promote events. And so it becomes like a reunion sometimes, because you haven't seen somebody in a year because their budget or your budget hasn't allowed you to travel. But when you do meet up again, you pick up right where you left off with whatever conversation or debate or discussion you were having, as well as catching up on what's new with them and what they're reading or what they're watching. Or in my case, because I do costume, what's their current costume project? I've been working on a costume now for 4 years, but at some point I will finish it. It's a really detailed dragon from Shrek as a one-person costume. And I know people who know I'm working on it, and they will ask me when they see me for the first time in over a year, so how's that costume coming? And I will hem and haw and be bashful and say, well, maybe next year. But so yeah, WesterCon is kind of like the summer reunion for me with some of my fans and friends.
But I've also sometimes thought that this is a gathering of friends that you may not have made yet, but that they're, if you're interested in the topics that are here, science fiction, fantasy, related subjects of that, you're probably going to find people here who are going to talk about the same things. You're going to find friends that you didn't know you had yet.
So kind of a kindred spirit kind of thing.
Very much so. And because we encourage it to be an active experience, it's not a sit behind, you know, sit back and be entertained. You're not going to, you're not buying a sporting event ticket or a concert admission, although we do have concerts going on at the convention.
But you're not just supposed to sit in your seat.
Yeah, you're supposed to be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
along that line.
Yes. And that's I'm going to be involved in that myself, and as I'm hosting one of the convention's major events, which is we're doing twice, actually. Once on, it's Saturday afternoon and Sunday evening. We're doing a game show. Yes, a game show based on the old Match Game. Yes, the Match Game with Gene Rayburn. I'm the host of Match Game, but it's with the science fiction and fantasy twist.
I can see the resemblance.
Absolutely. Yeah. the first time I ever did one of these was at the WorldCon, the World Science Fiction Convention in Philadelphia, and one of the people who had never seen – actually, no, it was the second time I'd done it. But anyway, I at the end of the show, one of them came up to me and said, "Oh, Kevin, you're so good at this. You're such a good host. You're so slick and oily." and I said, I think that's meant to be a compliment, so I'll just take it in that way. But I'll ask, you know, we have a panel of some very funny people, some of whom have done the show before, and others who are new to this. In fact, Phil and Kaya Folio will be on our Saturday afternoon panel. But questions are along the lines of, the Starfleet Admiral said, Captain Kirk has the biggest blank in Starfleet. And then the game questions are, you know, that we ask that of the panel. The panel fills it in. The contestant tries to guess how the panelists have answered it. And if the contestant who matches the most panelists goes on to play for some fairly nice prizes, we are giving away prizes. And everybody, I promise, everybody who appears on stage, because we're going to draw randomly from among the audience, everybody who appears on stage will receive a lovely parting gift.
Well, and of course, since you're trying to keep Match Game like the television series, even though you're not broadcasting, you're looking for creativity, not for the punchline.
Well, yeah, I mean, Match Game is not a trivia show. an example, I'll give this one because it's not in our mix here. And, people always ask about Match Game questions on this. I said, here's a bad question. Einstein said, God does not play blank with the universe. That's a terrible question because it's a historic quote. It's got only one right answer. But the Match Game version of that same question is, Einstein said, God does not play dice with the universe. However, he does play blank with it. And that we've used that one before, but not this year. So
not
I'm not giving it away.
Okay.
And that's on Saturday afternoon and Sunday evening. Saturday afternoon's all ages. Sunday evening might be slightly more risque.
No, there you go.
I don't know.
But, it does bring up
a good question about what's a good age for is there
all. There's a famous expression in science fiction fandom that says the age of wonder is 11, right? And because that's
I thought
when we
that
start
was Spinal Tap.
Yeah, no, that's Trinity. Yeah, who's good to 11? No, WesterCon is very much a family-friendly show. I will bring. You can bring any age. And
it's actually a generational show.
Yeah.
If you want to call it a show or an event, we've got members who will bring their kids and their grandkids. And I think we've got a fourth generation going with one of the regular attending families. So it's a, you know, grandmother, mother, daughter, and the granddaughter, or great-granddaughter, depending on how you're counting. And it's something that you can share both, you know, up or down in age. I mean, I've had my sister come to an event or two and because she liked one or two of the authors, and she never thought she could meet them because, oh, my gosh, they're, you know, they're Amazon best-selling or they're New York Times best-selling authors. And it's like, no, come with me, pay your money, I can take you in, you can sit in a panel where they're talking, and on their way out, you can grab their attention, or you can meet up with them in the hospitality suite, or even possibly in the restaurant. I was about to mention coffee clutches, but I don't know if we're doing those.
No.
Okay.
The thing is that it's not like, you know, it's not like the Tonight Show where guests fly in,
they fly out.
Do their 15 minutes and then they're gone.
No, they're here for the whole.
They're here for the hall. Pretty much for the whole hall. And it's not like the really big shows that draw 50 to 150,000 people where you're standing in line for 7 hours to sit in a room for 6 hours before you finally get to see the item or individuals that you want to see. You're going to have plenty of elbow room. You're not going to be on top of each other.
And you won't do the thing like they did at the Galaxy Quest conference where they had the actual spaceship crash into the wall. But
you know, if that were to happen, we would make headlines everywhere and it would actually be good for us.
We'd figure out something to do.
Well, you know, I think you know that there's people who have also an idea of what they think of a science fiction fantasy convention is. And they've never been to one, but they have people dressing up and and so what is the kind of surprising thing that you think people who think they know it all about a science fiction convention without ever have gone?
Odds are you might cross paths with your next door neighbor or a coworker. Individuals attending are going to be dressed quote mundane, is you know everyday look rather than like a fan. They might be just in a novelty T-shirt and jeans versus the scary, crazy costumes you might see. Yes, there might be a vampire or two walking the hallway. They might flash their fangs because they want you to ooh and ah over them, not because they want to niddle your neck.
My hall costume is going to be a suit and tie because that's what a game show host wears. I have to be in.
So easily 50% of the attendees will look like somebody walking down the hallway at your major mall.
Or college.
And then the other 50% will be in some realm of costuming or media-related apparel. And
I think the biggest surprise to most of them, though, will be the freedom that you have. In other words, if I want to go to the art show right now, I can. Assuming it's during the convention, I can go to the art show, or I can go to the dealer's room, or I can go to a panel, or I can go to this, that, or the other thing. At any time I want, I can schedule myself as fully as I want during the weekend, or as loosely as I want during the weekend, and I don't have to worry about long lines or queuing up. I don't have to buy tickets in advance for different things, you know. And so there's a huge amount of freedom in the three-ring circus that we're bringing.
Typically, the biggest complaint of this sort I've found is people saying, but you've scheduled too many things I want to do all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry about that when it happens, but we're trying to cover as many bases as possible. And we have a lot of people participating. There's a list of all the people who have agreed to be on programming up on our website at westercon64.org under the programming section. And you can see all the artists and authors and other fans who are scheduled to be on our programming.
So how many events are going on at the same time, usually?
Five or six, maybe more.
Yeah,
depending on how you
concurrent.
How you count it. You know,
and what time of day.
Yeah, because it usually gets a little bit slow after 2 a.m. and doesn't really ramp back up again about 10 in the morning. But, you know, there's a good chance that at any hour there's something going on.
Oh, and that's another surprising thing, which if you've never been to a convention, I might be worth talking about. And that's the concept of a room party. So as I went to other conventions promoting WesterCon, much as Sandra was talking about promoting a convention at another different WesterCon, as I went, I would throw a party in a room at the hotel, and I would buy, you know, some light snacks and, you know, soda and whatever, and have a party in my room, ostensibly to promote the convention, but mostly just as a venue for people to talk and to spread some goodwill about, you know, the conference. But, you know, what you'll find when you get there is there'll be a hallway. I think it'll be on the 19th floor of the Fairmont this time through. And you'll just walk down, and the door on your right will be one party, and then you'll walk down the door on the left, there'll be another party of a completely different thing, and some of them will be conventions, and some of them will be fan groups, like, television show X and its fans are promoting their little fan group, so they want to have a party, and so they'll have that kind of thing, and some people will just have random, I like to have parties, mm-hmm. and so on, and this whole thing... is not based around a jam or it's not a dance party or anything like that. It's all around conversation, right? And breaking a little bread, you know.
As I say, there's things going on in the evening in our. I mean that programming is basically for the members put on for themselves in a way. They have groups have rented out suites and are saying, here, come and talk about science fiction or whatever we're talking about here. Also going on will be things like there'll be music programming. Science fiction fantasy fans have a tendency to there's a lot of interest in music. What we call filk music, thanks to a long ago typographical error for folk music. And that'll be going on during the evening as well.
So a brief explanation about what filk is, because simply calling it that is not really enough.
That's true.
Filk music is science fiction folk music. And what people generally do is take advantage of a thing called scansion to rewrite the lyrics of folk songs and other songs with science fiction background and science fiction, lyrics. And although there are some filk concerts that will be at the convention, the general form of it is what's called a bardic circle, where people sit in a circle, and some have guitars, and they pick a song in sequence, and then everybody sings together, right? And so it's an interactive thing.
For those who aren't familiar with bardic circles, call it like a campfire sing around.
Yeah.
Where it's, the group and the community involved, and sometimes there are songbooks even available because the different performers or writers of the rewrites of the songs provide them because they've just came up with a new one. There's also a couple of jam-type sessions for those who are more musically inclined as well. But the real nice thing about that happening at the hotel and the whole thing being at the Fairmont is the Fairmont has sleeping rooms that you can stay and make it a nice little stay vacation and never have to worry about running home, changing clothes, making it back, dealing with parking again. Because once you're at the Fairmont and settled in, you can just make it, a single destination, and it feels like you've gone somewhere else for the weekend.
I'm certainly not going anywhere after I move in at the beginning of the convention. I'm not leaving until the convention's over.
Right, me either. And to help along with that, we're actually publishing a dining guide. There are like 200 restaurants in walking distance of the hotel, and one of our community is a really good writer, and he went and reviewed all of them. And so we're putting together a guide with his. He has some very funny ways of reviewing things, and it's not like a straight up, kind of boring review. Each one has some humor to it or some interesting bits to it, along with a map, a trifold map that allows you to locate the review against the map. So you can say, well, oh, okay, I'm here. I'll walk from here to there and find it.
Plenty of stuff in walking distance.
Well, this is 89.7 KFJC and Thoughtline. Tonight we're talking about WesterCon 64. WesterCon 64 is a Western regional science fiction and fantasy conference that begins this Friday, July 1st, at the Fairmont Hotel in San Jose and goes until Monday, July 4th. In between, there'll be lots of authors talking about books, people talking about science fiction and fantasy movies, about television shows, about costuming, and about everything in between. Things like 3D cinema, things like how to be a steampunk, themes like what's going to happen now that Borders is closed. So a lot of different things that deal with books, with language, with images that deal with science fiction and fantasy. So you can go to westercon64.org. That's WESTERCON, the number 6, the number 4, .org. And in the studio we have Glenn Glazer, Kevin Stanley, and Sandra Childress. And Dave Clark, without a microphone, mic-less, standing in the back with his Hawaiian shirt that you can't see.
But you, but you can hear.
Just as well.
You can't you can't hear that shirt from here.
He says it's just as well.
So how did you know? I mean, all you guys started off just going to science fiction conventions, and now all of you are part of putting it on. But you're part of this amorphous mass of volunteers who step up and take the responsibility to make this stuff happen.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't know how the others here were. I was originally attracted, oh my goodness, how many years? 1984, because the World Science Fiction Convention was going to be in Anaheim, and I lived near Marysville in Yuba City. And some people who I was very fond of their work, fanatically fond of, I wanted to go see them. There was a big event scheduled around them, and so I was 18 years old. And I rode in Greyhound all night long down to Anaheim to attend that World Science Fiction Convention and found myself surrounded by many, many people with a common interest to the extent, and not realizing how close the connections were, to the extent of while standing in line to register, I got chatting with a person behind me, and it turned out that he and I had a mutual friend in the manager of the comic book store in the city where I was from. And that was just the beginning of a long participation in these events. I went to the following year's WesterCon in Sacramento, and I've been going to the WesterCons and WorldCons and other conventions of this sort to the extent of co-chairing the World Science Fiction Convention when it was here in San Jose in 2002.
I got pulled in literally as a volunteer in 91 after working with a group of people on a haunted house regionally here. And they are part of the operations and logistics team that has been still around as a group of friends now. And that was, it was 91. And I just knew that as a person who's been in an office, I could run office type procedures and the like. So I worked the convention operations office on the graveyard shift for my very first convention. Didn't know what was going on, and by the end of that convention, I pretty much was hooked because I have volunteeritis. It is a very contagious disease. I grew up in volunteer groups, too, so it was not a far stretch when my mother found out what I was doing. She's like, oh, I thought it'd be involving horses. I'm like, well, no, not quite. They're Pegasuses and unicorns that I'm so it's close. And from there, I think I've worked on actually more conventions than I've attended as a fan or a member of the conference because I enjoy putting on something that others will get pleasure from. I guess that's a very giving personality. But
I call it a case of perpetual pay it forward. I was so floored by my first experience all those years ago. And the subsequent ones thereafter, I said, I've got to help with this because it is all volunteer. None of us are being paid for this. We're all doing this on our own time.
And dime.
And it's sort of like a group of, you know, it's like a big potluck dinner. Everybody chips in a little bit to help rent the hall, but every one of us also brings a dish to the meal. Consequently, you should be able to find at least one thing you like.
So my first WesterCon was back in 86 in San Diego, and it was called HaleyCon because that was the year that Halley's Comet was coming by. In fact, they put out T-shirts that said HaleyCon N in 1910+76N, subject to orbital perturbations. But
math humor.
Yes. The reason I went to WesterCon is actually I had gotten involved in Filking from a first convention or a couple conventions I went to. And when I moved to San Diego to go to San Diego State University, I got involved with the Hill community there, and that extended to the convention committee, the science fiction fans in general, Star San Diego, which is was a local science fiction club there. From there, you know, I wound up working on the WesterCon and rolling it forward. I took a picture recently. I put out, as I was packing, last weekend I was packing for the convention, and I put out 30 years of WesterCon shirts on my bed and took a photo, a sampling of 30 years of WesterCon shirts.
Still got all yours. I don't have all mine.
Well, you know, talking about science fiction and fantasy, you know, if we talk in musical terms, it's a little like jazz. I mean, jazz has everything from ragtime and big band all the way up to, you know, Cecil Parker and experimental honking and squirting. And so there's, you know, the same thing with science fiction and fantasy that, you know, there's a lot of different, not only kind of mediums that's involved. You have books, you have television, you have movies, you have comics, graphic novels. What, you know, if people are thinking about, well, I sort of like science fiction, I sort of like fantasy, what are the kind of things that you could tell them that would make them feel like, well, this is going to be a conference that, you know, you won't feel out of place even if it's your first convention?
Well, there are a couple of things I would say to that. One is, 30 years ago, when I started going to conventions, science fiction fandom was definitely a subculture, right? Now, virtually half, quarter of the blockbusters every year are science fiction films or fantasy films of some kind. It's become mainstream, right? It's not an alien group, right, if you want to think of it that way. When you go to a convention, you're going to be seeing people who are very much normal, you know, everyday people who enjoy thinking about the future or who enjoy romanticizing about the past. It's not cliquish in any way or anything like that.
There's a pretty good chance you'll be able to find something with a program as diverse as ours. Probably a pretty good chance you'll be able to find something that appeals to you on our program. And you're going to find people with a common interest. And one of the things that I've had people say to me is that they like not having to explain their terms to everybody else around them. I mean, if you spend a lot of time around people who don't have an interest in science fiction and fantasy, you end up having to explain everything.
All right. I just want to add to what... I mean, expand on something that Glenn was talking about, as normal does. I mean, there are probably a lot of people out there in the audience who, young folks who like science fiction or fantasy, and their friends and their family maybe think they're a little weird. Well, guess what? Our families think we're weird too.
Very much so.
We get it.
Yep.
Yeah. We look normal on the outside, but we think a little differently sometimes.
Well said, Dave.
and there's obviously a conference that's really made for people to really interact, mm-hmm. because everything from the open door parties to panels where you're looking for comments from people. So even if it's your first conference, your first convention, you have plenty of ways of getting involved and being part of it.
One thing I would like to add, just for clarity, for everyone's understanding, those parties are open door, but only to the members of the convention. So, if you don't have a badge, they will probably not let you in the room.
That's a good point too.
That's right. It is a community, but you have to become part of the community. It's not hard to become a part of the community. You can go look on our website and find out. Right. And you can come for all 4 days, or just one day, or any combination of them.
And it's not really a money thing about the badging at the door. It's more about community and belongingness and keeping, you know, undesirable elements from, like, you know.
Yeah, it's more than a party.
Exactly right. Exactly.
You were asking earlier about some of the things you might find surprising at an event like this. One of the surprising elements is just how easily accessible the people within our field are. A story that I've told before, not here though, but my wife and I were at a WesterCon in Calgary, Alberta, and the guest of honor was author S.M. Sterling. And my wife had become very enamored of a series of books that Sterling had written, to the extent that she made up a t-shirt that had a reference inside to the series that would be very difficult to get if you hadn't read all the books. And Sterling himself hadn't actually read the shirt and didn't quite realize it, but his wife looked at it and just cracked up and pointed at it. You told her, go look again, and he looked at it and said, oh! Anyway, there's this about this, you know, a few hundred, you know, about the same size event as the one we're going to have here. And my wife had wanted to get these books autographed by Sterling, and it seemed like every time that he was scheduled to do an autograph session or she was had to be somewhere else. I just couldn't connect to these. And we happened to run across him as we were going from one place to another, and she expressed her frustration over this. Never been able to schedule this right. And Steve Sterling said, well, I'm not busy right now. You want me to come? I'll come up to your room. We'll go sign him in there. And so the four of us, my wife and his wife, and we went up to the hotel room, and he just signed the books and spent some time chatting with us, and very, very pleasant about the whole thing. You're not going to get that at a 100,000 person mega show, because all the important people are surrounded by people to keep you away from them, because otherwise they'll be mobbed.
And even if they weren't, the mob itself would keep you away.
Very much so.
So what do you guys do when you're not doing what you're doing this weekend?
So I have a really – okay, so what we call fans, right, is fanish, right? Things that fans do is fanish. And I have what might be the most quintessentially fanish job, or one of the most, in the world. I work for a company called Linden Lab, and we make a product called Second Life. So I work in a virtual world. Okay, I don't work in this world. I work in a computer-generated world. And when we go to meetings, right, because, you can use Second Life, you create an avatar and wander in the world. Well, we have special places where only company employees can reach, right, and we have our meetings there. And so nobody ever believes the meetings I have. I have to take pictures of screenshots of it because, one guy's like a robot and one guy's like a tall, giant, minotaur or whatever, and this is where we're having a business meeting, And so I love my job. I mean, it's just I have a great time. And I'm what's called a release engineer. So what really goes on is that I'm the shepherd of about 5,000 computers.
Wow. Well, not that I'm encouraging people to bring their resumes to WesterCon, but how did you find your job?
So it's an amazing story. I was at a different convention, World Fantasy. I was running the registration at the Fairmont Hotel, and I was talking to someone about where I worked at that time. And I tried to log into our corporate website to show them something to illustrate what I was saying, and couldn't log in. So I called my boss, and that's how I found out I had been laid off, which is really a class act. But anyway, at that point, I'm now on vacation at a convention, without a job, right? And I talked to a friend of mine, Deirdre Moen, who happens to be running programming for WesterCon, and among other people, and said what I just said, basically. And she said, oh, well, we have this friend in common, and he works at Linden Lab, and he seems to enjoy it. You should try it out. So I did. And so, there's a story about an interview and stuff like that, but eventually I wound up driving from my home in the San Cruz Mountains up Highway 1 to San Francisco. Beautiful day, sun rising over the clear blue Pacific, and I had a great interview, and they liked me, and they gave me an offer on the way home.
That's great.
So it's
connections.
Yes, it's networking. Sure, absolutely.
It's networking, and it's not networking like the sort of hard and fast of trying to make something happen. It's just that things can happen.
Yeah, and I don't own a blue blazer, so it's not that kind of networking either.
Whereas I've got the unusual one, whereas I'm involved in horse racing after 20 years in corporate America tech fields as an administrative assistant, and the horse racing partnership I manage includes 7 other fans of science fiction and fantasy, and we refer to ourselves as SMOF Racing, which is a moniker for those of us who run conventions, Secret Masters of Fandom. For those who aren't fanish related, or for my trainer, we refer to it as Sandra's Many Online Friends, and it does work, and we have a good time. And it is a small partnership. It's only one racehorse now, but at some point we'd like it to grow. But we're having fun with it, and that's what I'm doing right now while going back to school.
And so that was another one of those things where you had connections?
I had connections. I had an opportunity to take on a racehorse in 2007, and I posted about it on LiveJournal to my fantasy community of friends and said, hey, who all wants in? And in less than 12 hours, I had 10 people involved. Since then, we've had a couple of changes, but that's the dynamic of business, and it's a real nice opportunity.
And while I got my job by way of science fiction fandom, not the one I have right now, my first one in the Bay Area, but I currently work as a engineer, computer programmer for a supply chain management company. But even there, my involvement with science fiction fandom has a bearing on it, because part of my job deals with large amounts of geographical data. And I found that my experience as a volunteer sorting bulk mailings by zip code for to send out of these publications has developed a knowledge of the zip code system that's very handy when you're trying to figure out where things are.
And me, the job I used to have was working for a bank in Alameda County, and when I worked my way up into the backroom operationals matters when we got word that they were merging with another bank. And in between that time and the eventual announcement that my job was moving to Sacramento, I had a dream that ended up with me selling books. And I woke up, remember, enough of the dream to say, I could do that. So now I'm a mail-order science fiction bookseller.
So, you know, in this kind of day and age when I think half the people at KFJC are out of work or between jobs, and you look at how most of you guys have leveraged, you know, the love that you have of science fiction, that have given you jobs or have given you great insight, great friends, or great examples of where to go next. It's an amazing thing that it's more than just a conference for you guys.
Well, you know, the other thing is that for those who have some initiative, a fandom, particularly convention running fandom, is a very welcoming place to let you try things in a fairly safe environment. So that, you know, I've learned things, like, for example, I've run dealer's rooms, right? Well, in order to run a dealer's room, there are a couple of basic elements that you need to have. You need to have some drafting skills to move the tables around or to lay out the tables and know where the outlets are and things like that and lay that part out. And you need to have some organizational skills to solicit the dealers and get back the orders and assign people to different places and so on, and some diplomacy to work between the dealers and make sure that all happens correctly. So those kinds of skills I would not have learned, right, in, you know, my day job as either a mathematician or a programmer or whatever.
And one of my coworkers was sort of laughing. He'd heard me going, "Are you going to those science fiction conventions? Everyone dresses up with the pointy ears and goes blah blah blah." And I said, "Well, you know, I mean, I'd put this down as I'm chief executive officer of a $1 million." Gross revenue, 5,000-person international literary conference. And he looked, he went, "Ooh, that sounds a lot more serious."
And we do we are in a whole volunteer organization, so we do indeed depend upon people walking in saying that we want to do stuff, you know, for the convention. This is frequently how things get done. I mean, we may not have someone to run a blood drive. We may not have someone to run a kid program. We need someone who can show up and say, "I can do this."
And heck, well, you know, there's miscellaneous volunteers needed on the day for all of our functions. Sandra's going to be wanting help with hospitality.
In the hospitality suite, which is where we are we're the party that the convention gives back to its members. So we open about 10 in the morning and we'll close at about 1 a.m. and we'll have conversation space and light munchies and beverages to kind of keep you going between your breakfast and your lunch and between lunch and dinner and the like. And some of those skills that I've learned trying to figure out how to buy for 700 people for 4 days, budgeting and time management and managing staff and the like, I've parlayed back into my day job when I was working corporate America. And to the point where I actually ran my own meeting and event planning and wedding planning company for about 6 years. Unfortunately, the economy, brides want to do their own weddings now, so I just consult a little.
Ah.
One of the things I was going to say then, if you are interested in volunteering when you come to the convention after you've registered, come to the convention operations office. That's where they're going to be dispatching people from. I know I'm going to need a couple of stagehands for the match game.
That will be in the garden room of the Fairmont.
Right.
And so this is this weekend. It starts Friday, July 1st, and it's at the Fairmont Hotel, downtown San Jose, right across from Cesar Chavez Park, that from Friday, July 1st to Monday, July 4th, the WesterCon has its 64th annual convention. And WesterCon happens all over the western United States, also Canada as well. You haven't had anything in Mexico yet.
No, no one's ever, I don't know if anyone ever actually formally bid for one, though.
But there was a humorous attempt at one, but it wasn't really an attempt. It was more of a bidding for a cruise boat.
That's right. But yeah, next year the convention will be up in Seattle. So this is, it's not something where we'll come back next year, we'll have it. You know, this is a traveling feast, you might say, a movable feast, if you like.
That's right. So so the good thing is that you might meet your neighbors, but you also meet people from all over the western United States.
And indeed, we're going to probably have people from all over North America, and a few folks from outside of North America as well usually attend.
And I know of at least two people who are coming from Boston.
It's not uncommon. You can attend a WorldCon in Glasgow, and you wind up going for lunch with people that live 50 miles away from you back here in California, but you only see them at conventions.
That's right.
Well, so, the thing about conventions is that it is about science fiction and fantasy. So what are the science fiction and fantasy parts that you like? I mean, are books, movies? Who's your favorite authors?
My favorite author right now for science fiction is Kevin J. Anderson with his Terra Incognita series. And then I've got a new author that I'm reading called Michael Angel with a fantasy set here in modern times, as well as a second world where an LAPD detective and a unicorn fight crime. But for classic stuff, Werner Van G., Ben Nova.
So, having been part of the WesterCon committee from the start, of course, I picked Patricia McKillop for a reason. And it's because she's one of my favorite authors. Okay, and one of the things I love about her work is if you're looking for, and I'm a fantasy fan, by the way, much more so than science fiction, but if you're looking for blazing fireballs and all this kind of, you know, dueling wizards thing, then that's not going to happen in a McKillop book. What you're going to find instead is fantasy so light, you're almost not sure it's there. And then all of a sudden you realize you've walked into something completely different. And you just got eased into it, kind of like boiling the frog, right? It's just, you know, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm in a fantasy novel. This started out like a normal book, right? How did this happen? And also because, like with another author who I really enjoy, Guy Gavriel Kay, they both have a deft understanding of character and how people relate to each other. There's a sequence in a Kay novel that takes place in a fantasy version of Byzantium, right? And this guy who's living in what should be Italy, right, is given a commission to go to Byzantium to build a mosaic. And he's like, you know, I don't want to go. It's a long way. I don't want to bother. And his mom says, of course you're going. What do you mean you're not going? You're going. You know it. You know. But it's the way that an adult man relates to his mom that is real, right? So it's the combination of the fantastic with a real sense of realism. So that's what I like, and I find that expresses itself best in books, because.
Your mind draws
the picture, right? Yeah.
Books are a lot like radio. Mm-hmm. You have to think through them.
Mm-hmm. And I'm very enthusiastic about our other guests of honor, Phil Folio and Kaya Folio, and they've won the Hugo Award twice for their Girl Genius graphic novels, which are set in a world ruled by mad science. Imagine if the Industrial Revolution had gone completely differently. And instead we have giant steam-powered machines and warring powers shooting steam cannon at each other from dirigibles. It's sometimes called steampunk. The Folio's own term for it is gas lamp fantasy, and it is a great deal of fun.
I'm fond of some authors like Dan Simmons, who's kind of written it all. He's written some fantasy. He's written fantasy. He's written hard SF, like with the Hyperion sequence. He's written mysteries. He's written, you know, really gripping horror like Carrie and Comfort, and I'm also very fond of Terry Pratchett, my favorite fantasy author.
Terry's good.
Yes, who's done the Discworld series for 30-odd books, and that just he hasn't let it get tired. He just keeps getting better.
And Dave brings up an interesting subgenre of fantasy that I adore, which is comedic fantasy, right? Terry Pratchett's books are very funny.
And Girl Genius, is it? No, sorry.
Terry, in fact, worked with Neil Gaiman on a book called Good Omens, which was fantasy about the most amazing of subjects, the end of the world. It was about the apocalypse, right? And it was humor about the apocalypse going wrong because there was supposed to be an angel baby and a demon baby, and they got swapped. The parents got swapped, and it goes on from there. And that's stuff I just eat up.
And hilarity ensues.
And hilarity ensues, yes.
Well, so WesterCon 64 happening this weekend, Friday, July 1st to Monday, July 4th at the Fairmont Hotel, which is right downtown San Jose, across from the Tech Museum. And you can go to WesterCon64.org. That's WesterCon, the number 6, the number 4.org. And we have Glenn Glazer, Kevin Standley, Dave Clark, and Sandra Childress in our KFJC studio tonight. We didn't figure we could fit all of them in, but they fit somehow. And although I you know, it's kind of like, you know,
bigger on the inside.
Part of it is that there's always that part of name dropping, and you've talked about your guest host who so we already know Glenn who your favorite guest is going to be at the convention this weekend. Do any of our other participants have a favorite? You talking about the
Folios, Phil and Kaya Folio. I mean, I'm very pleased to be working with them on this. I've actually known the work of Phil Folio now for almost from the beginning of my involvement with science fiction fandom.
Wow.
And here's a surprise that you go back to surprises you won't expect, is if you've never met Phil Folio, you have no idea what he's like. And he's a showman and an entertainer, and he's larger than life in 4D and just a pleasure to listen to. So if you never came to the convention, you would only read his works.
The people at our convention, I'm with Kevin, Phil and Kaya Folio.
So they are. Sandra, do you have?
I'm just going to have to say all of them at this point because they each bring a unique element to our event. Completely different, and at the same time, when you put it all together, it works.
I don't want to forget Mike Wilmoth, who's our fan guest of honor. We do honor people within our own community for their work and achievements as a science fiction fan, and Mike is one of our guests of honor as well.
So that's great. So listen, thanks a lot. Each week on Thoughtline, we tell you if there's something you believe in, get involved with it, and don't let anyone make up your mind for you. This weekend, WesterCon 64 happening at the Fairmont Hotel. Friday the 1st to Monday the 4th. You can find out more at WesterCon64.org. And I want to thank Glenn Glazer, Kevin Standley, Sandra Childress, and Dave Clark for being the guest on Thoughtline tonight. And coming up next is Pete Dixon. And until next week, Robert Emmett saying, be seeing you.
Opinions expressed on KFJC are not necessarily those of its staff or management. Responsible parties with opposing views may be provided time to air those views. For more information, write to the Public Affairs Director at KFJC, 12345 El Monte Road, Los Altos Hills, California, 94022. Broadcasting from Foothill College, this is KFJC, Los Altos Hills.